Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
The information provided in this podcast episode is for entertainment purposes and is not medical advice. If you have any questions about your health, contact a medical professional. This content is strictly the opinions of Lucas Owen and is for informational and entertainment purposes only. The references, claims, and scientific information linked to any products are only applicable to those listeners who are based in the US. If you are outside the US, this information does not apply to you. It is not intended to provide medical advice or to take the place of medical advice or treatment from a personal physician. All viewers of this content are advised to consult with their doctors or qualified health professionals regarding specific health questions. Thank you for listening to the Boost Your Biology podcast. My name is Lucas Owen. I uncover the most cutting-edge health information on the planet, ranging from hormones, nutrition, supplementation, fat loss, biohacking, longevity, wellness, and a whole lot more. Welcome to the Boost Your Biology podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Boost Your Biology podcast. Today's special guest holds a master's degree in exercise science and health promotion and continually adds to her credentials as a functional nutritional therapy practitioner. She is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to health. Bernadette Abraham, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Lucas.
Yeah, awesome. So maybe, Bernadette, did you want to let my audience know a little bit about yourself? How did you get so fascinated into, I guess, like health optimization?
Yeah, well, my story began early on. I've always had a love for health and fitness. I was an athlete. I was a competitive gymnast for 8 years. And then I coached that at a very young age of 16. I started coaching kids. And that really got into my, you know, got my coaching career going. That was the start of it. And then I did track and field. I coached that. And then in university, you know, obviously anybody with a love for health and fitness goes on and studies computer engineering, complete 180. but even throughout university, I was still fascinated in love with health, fitness, nutrition, and helping people. And so even throughout university, I was still coaching. I was still, you know, doing personal training, group fitness instruction. I was doing, at the time it was called karate, Taibo instruction, you know, kickboxing classes. And so really my love for health, fitness, nutrition really began early on. And it's just been an evolution over the years. And over the years, I also got kids. I have 4 children. And then, you know, I realized I studied nutritional therapy. And then I went on to study functional medicine. And I was like, gosh, I have all this knowledge. And now I have kids. And it's really hard to apply the knowledge to children. Right? Knowing one thing and actually getting them to eat healthy is a completely different ballgame. And I'm like, my God, if I'm a nutritionist and I have all this knowledge about health, fitness, nutrition, and I'm struggling getting my kids to eat healthy foods, there's got to be others out there. And sure enough, that was the case. And it was a big light bulb moment for me when parents kept turning to me and saying, what are you feeding your kids? How can you help me get mine to eat better? And I was like, bing, that was the idea for my book on junk, how to raise healthy eaters in a processed world. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I blended my fitness to nutrition to functional medicine journey with also parenting, because it's an entirely different beast. Like I said, dealing with adults is one thing, but dealing with children is a completely different, beast all on its own. And so Unjunk, although I wrote it for parents, can really help anybody, any adult, because it teaches you how to eat, how to shop, and it's a very practical book. So I hope that it can help many people who are interested in getting healthier through nutrition.
Yeah. So let's expand upon some of the struggles that we see with parents these days, as far as outlining what's healthy foods for kids and things like that. Yeah. What are some of the common challenges that they face when it comes to like educating and actually implementing these strategies?
Yeah. Unfortunately, everybody, not just children, we've lost touch with what is food. Like the question of what is food, if you ask it to the regular person, they're going to tell you it gives us calories or it's something that tastes good. Food is information, right? Food goes beyond just calories and taste. It nourishes us and it's information for our immune system. And so translating that not only to kids, but to adults, and trying to simplify the face of nutrition, because gosh, you look on social media, it's complicated, right? You've got extremes in everything, diet extremes in everything. And so I really try and simplify what is food, because we've become lost. We've lost our way with what is food, answering that very simple question. You know, today we have whole foods, we have food products, we have conventional foods, we have organic foods, we have GMO foods. Then we have different categories of organic, local organic, industrial organic, biodynamic organic, right? There's all these different labels and categories. So it's no wonder why people are so confused. So one of the ways that I explain nutrition to parents to teach their kids is through a simple health continuum line. And I don't look at food as good and bad. I look at food along this gradient line where at one end, the green end, it's whole foods made in nature the way nature intended, right? Things that you can pick from a tree, fish from the sea, kill on land, grow from the land. That's been nourished by the sun and water, rain and natural earth, right? That's all that's needed. That's true organic farming, whole foods the way nature intended. That's at the green end. Then at the complete opposite end is the red end. And that side is anything that's made in a lab, that's chemically produced, that you would not find anywhere in nature, right? So think of Skittles, for example, or candies, or anything that has artificial colors and flavors, even sodas. That's at the complete red end, food products. And so that's how I want people to start seeing food, is that we want predominantly in our diet to have whole foods from the green end, and we want to limit and if possible, avoid the foods at the red end, which are food products. Now, it's a gradient, right? It's a line. So again, things that fall in between, like for example, Lucas, if I was to tell you, and I play this game and I encourage parents to play this game. I've played it with my kids in the car. It's fun. It's the food product or whole food game. So I just start naming foods, right? So I'll say chicken. Is it a whole food or a food product? And they'll say whole food. But then I'll give them tricky ones like, okay, what about bread? And they'll be like, right, question marks. What is it? Where does bread fall? Okay, if it's made from organic whole grains, okay, it's going to be closer to the green end maybe, but it still lies somewhere in the middle of that health continuum line, because you can't pick bread from a tree, right? It was milled, it was processed, it was refined into a flour. And so it does kind of move towards the center of that health continuum line. So does that mean it's a bad food? No. It just means that it's closer to the red side. So it's maybe not something that we should be having over consuming, which today most people do. Pastas and breads, right? Those are refined foods that will somehow, even though they're whole grain or organic, are going to fall somewhere in the middle of that line. But if we choose food products at the green end and our diet is predominantly whole foods, we never have to worry about counting calories, Worry about gaining weight because that is what we should be consuming predominantly. You need to start worrying about counting calories and looking at labels and ingredients when you're choosing food products that are closer to the red end. So that's how I like to simplify the face of food and how I like to explain it to parents to explain it to their children.
Yeah, you made a few really good points there, Bernadette. I mean, you mentioned like on social media how there's a lot of like confusion and a lot of health coaches and influencers have their own agenda and their own perspective when it comes to food. And it actually makes me question like, geez, has my educational content on like educating around food just made people so confused? Because I like to dive deep onto like the, you know, these tiny little polyphenols that are found in fruits or like, it makes me wonder whether I'm just confusing the audience.
No, but it's great. You know, it's great to know that these whole foods, again, all these polyphenols and antioxidants and vitamins and minerals, are you going to find them in food products? Absolutely not. Are you going to find them in whole foods? Yeah. Are you going to find them less in whole foods that started getting refined? Right. So again, if we can like simplify the face of nutrition for people, it just makes it just relieves a lot of pressure off of people. But I think it's fun. I mean, I'm like you, I love to get into the little nitty gritty details of what this food has and what this food. And here's a fun fact, because of soil depletion and mass farming practices that we have now for the sake of higher corporate profits, right? These large producing farms want to make tons of food because they want to make money, but it's at the expense of the quality and the nutrient count of these foods. And there are some apples and apricots, for example, that have zero vitamin C in them today compared to 50, 100 years ago because of our farming practices having changed so much over the years. And that brings in the topic of, okay, then is that why we need to supplement? And that brings in the topic of supplements. And I believe today, even if you eat the best whole foods organic diet, because of that situation of nutrient depletion, soil depletion, and mass farming practices and foods being shipped all over the world, you know, unless you have your own little farm that you're eating off of and you know the quality of your soil and its regenerative practices, then you're likely having subpar nutrient standards in these foods, from these foods. And so supplementation, I feel, is essential today to, yeah, I mean, again, to compensate for the lack that we now have today.
I'm in the exact same boat. I fully agree. You know, even if you're following like the best diet, quote unquote, best diet, right, and you feel like you're getting all the vitamins and minerals. I mean, the one that I see time and time again is, you know, vitamin D. You'd see it a lot as well with your clients. You know, people think that they can get enough vitamin D from like fish and eggs and things like that. But reality is like, you can't, unless you're going outside in the sun, exposing your skin without sunscreen or, you know, using a safe sunscreen. This is where it's really crucial to understand. But I sort of want to backtrack and go into the topic of like preparing food for the week. And obviously everyone listening to this podcast has to do some form of preparing their own food or having someone prepare it for them. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, going into a grocery store, like what are some good tips that you can recommend to my audience when it comes to like actually preparing food and like completing the groceries?
Okay, so I'm going to share with you, I also discuss this in my book. It's called my VPF plus C principle. And this is actually something that I use with my private clients, because again, I really want to try and simplify the guidelines for proper nutrition and how to create balanced meals, right? So V stands for vegetables, simple. So think of all the rainbow of colors of different vegetables that you want to try to be getting in. P stands for proteins. So the way I like to explain it to those that don't have any nutrition background is anything that has eyes or anything that comes from something that has eyes is considered a protein, right? So think, you know, your chicken, your meats, and then the byproducts of those, like eggs, dairy, for example, those would be considered high protein foods. Then you've got F, which are healthy fats. And this is often what's missing in today's diet. People really focus on proteins and vegetables, but then they miss out on healthy fats. Which would come from, again, you want a variety of fatty acids that would come from things like nuts, seeds, avocado, coconut, the nut butters, the seed butters, even the oils, grass-fed butter, olive oil, extra virgin, coconut oil, etc., right? And then you have the C, the VPF plus C. C stands for starchy carbs. And, you know, carbohydrates are broken down into three main categories. We've got our simple carbs, we've got our complex starchy carbs, and we've got our fibrous carbs, which was the V. So today, we don't have to go looking for carbs. Carbs find us. And I find, you know, with clients who are trying to just trying to fix their diets, that's the category that I tell them, don't worry about the C, because it will always somehow be found in your diet, whether it's potatoes, rice, breads, pastas, etc., right? And the simple carbs are what we really want to be limiting and avoiding, and is too abundant in today's diet. So that's anything that is sweet, or anything that will spike blood sugar really quickly, because it will go into the bloodstream and create a blood sugar spike. So that's anything that's refined, anything that's made out of flour. That's what you want to really limit. And that's the simple carb. So going back to the VPF plus C category, the C is what I usually tell people is going to, you're going to tweak it based on your circumstance. So if you're someone who's an athlete who's training really hard, you don't want to be limiting your carbs, right? You're going to tax your adrenals and your energy is going to tank the next workout. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lucas. Do you agree with me on this?
100%. Absolutely. Exactly.
But if you're someone who's insulin resistant, on the verge of diabetes, you're really going to want to limit that C category, even the starchy carb category. You're going to want to limit the quantity. Do you want to completely avoid carbs? Because I know carbs is a big debate all the time. No, because here's why my VPF plus C protocol works so well. Because we're getting in all the three major macronutrients, carbs, proteins, and fats, right? That's why it works so well, because the body is going to be getting the nourishment that it needs, and it's going to regulate blood sugar by ensuring that every main meal that you prepare has a V, a P, and an F. You're going to wipe out cravings. You're going to wipe out energy dips. I promise, because I've done this with a lot of clients over the years. And this principle is a fantastic guideline to simplify the face of what should I eat? How should I combine my meals? Right? But it gives a nice framework, a nice guideline to work within. And then you could tweak it based on your circumstance. You could tweak that C and also tweak the portions of each depending on, right? If you need more proteins because you're trying to pack on muscle, great. Pack on the muscle, add in more protein, right? Tweak it based on your circumstance, but ensure that it's there. So when you're going to go and prepare meals, I want your listeners to think about VPF first and foremost. So my breakfast, where's my V coming from? Where's my P coming from? Where's my F coming from? And a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that F is always oils. I want you to get into the habit of actually using a food form of healthy fat, because it's going to be more satiating. When you're actually chewing and digesting and breaking down the food versus something being in oil form, it's going to satiate you a lot longer. It's going to make that food last a lot longer. So it's going to make your energy last longer. It's going to stabilize your blood sugar a lot longer. And I've had a lot of success with it. And a lot of people who want to lose weight also have success with the VPF. Those who want to gain muscle have success with the VPF, because again, it's ensuring that you're not limiting, you know, all these crazy diets out there. The reason they fail is because they restrict certain macronutrients in the diet. Whereas VPF is ensuring you're getting in all the macronutrients that's essential for the body. And as by default, you're going to be getting in the micronutrients as well, right? All the vitamins and minerals.
It's also very sustainable as well, because then, you know, the client's not complaining that they're missing out on their favorite foods. They can still eat them and feel nourished. And actually, it's a sustainable approach. Like it needs to be. You know, I say there's no point being on a diet for 12 weeks. It needs to be completely sustainable for years.
Yeah. And you know what? I agree with that 80-20. But when you're on a protocol, let's say, or you're on something because you have a very specific goal that you want to reach, you can be a little bit more strict. But then when you're off of that protocol or that goal that you're trying to achieve, it shouldn't be a drastic change. Because then that, whatever you did, the efforts that you did are not going to last. It's not going to be sustainable. So sustainability is the key word here. And the VPF plus C principle really helps achieve that.
Yeah, I love that. It's funny. In the last like 2 weeks, I kept bringing up this, the EFS diet that I thought I pretty much like invented in the last like 2 weeks, which is like eggs for breakfast, fish for lunch, and steak for dinner. So EFS. something like that. But you mentioned a really important point, Bernadette, which is around, you know, when you're looking at clients who have sort of come to you and said that they feel like they need help fixing their diet, one of the core principles that you mentioned there was like stabilizing blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to maybe expand upon the importance of doing so? Like, why is it important for people to stabilize their blood sugar levels?
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the symptoms that someone might get to understand if they have blood sugar regulation issues, because there is a whole lot of people walking around today, insulin resistant and not knowing it. So I'll touch on what are some of the common typical symptoms. And then we could look at, well, what can I do to test to find out if I truly am or not? Because that also, I've had a lot of people come to me and say, yeah, but I checked my blood sugar. It was normal. Okay. Who's interpreting those results for you, right? So again, there's a completely different lens when you're looking at it from a functional medicine lens versus the conventional lens. And so diabetes is not something that someone just wakes up with overnight. Although many people believe that, you know, they'll think, well, my father and my mom have it, so I'm just bound to eventually get it. That's not true. You know, okay, you might have the genetic predisposition for diabetes, but there's been studies that show, actually, there's a fantastic study of done on twin sisters. And both of them had cardiovascular disease and diabetes in the family. And one twin sister ate horrible diet, smoked, drank, did all the wrong things lifestyle-wise. She developed diabetes and cardiovascular disease. The other identical twin, who genetically speaking, they have the same DNA, right? The same genes. She didn't. And she looks fantastic. Like, there's even a side-by-side image of them. So I just want anybody who's feeling victimized by their genes, who's listening to this, I want you to know that it plays a very small role. We all have genetic predispositions to things. And when it comes to diabetes, that is a lifestyle disease. That is predominantly lifestyle related. And so your choices from food, but also your choices around stress, stress resiliency and stress reduction, because people can become insulin resistant from stress alone. And that's something that people don't realize, right? They have the best diet, but they could still be trending towards diabetes and insulin resistance because of stress. So, we could get into the why about that, but you know, cortisol puts sugar into the blood. Quite simply, that's physiologically what's happening. And cortisol is that, you know, is known as the stress hormone. So when we are stressed, our body is going to see that threat and wants us to survive, and we'll put sugar into the bloodstream. So now going back to symptoms, I know I kind of went off on a tangent. We'll come back. So what are some symptoms? Well, hangry, right? If you miss a meal and you want to bite someone's head off and you need food, that's a really good sign. If you get irritable and shaky, if you miss food, if you wake up in the middle of the night, like around between one and three in the morning, that's also a classic sign that you've got some possible hypoglycemia going on at night. Because if you get a blood sugar low in the middle of the night, that's an emergency response in the body. And the body's going to react by kicking in adrenaline, which again wants to flood the body with sugar. And so what happens when we got adrenaline roaming around in the body, Lucas? Eyes wide open, blood pumping, heart pumping, right? You wake up and it's hard to go back to sleep. So that's another really classic one that I see. But cravings for sugar. When you become insulin resistant, that means your cell can't take sugar from the blood and put it properly into the cell. And so your cells are no longer properly fueled. And we need sugar for function. We function with sugar into the cell. And so if you don't have that, then you're not properly fueled, then your body's going to crave sugar because it wants that fuel. So having a constant craving for something sweet or high in carb or refined, like if you're a pasta and bread addict, maybe not sweet, but you're a pasta and bread addict, that still falls into the same category because that spikes blood sugar very quickly as well. Right. So those are some of the classic. Do you want to add anything? I think those are some of the classic signs and symptoms of blood sugar issues.
Yeah, they're very good. I'd say also like the brain fog, the lack of mental clarity. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Like people just feeling like they don't have like access to words, or they just can't remember things, or
yeah,
just not feeling mentally sharp. That's a big one.
And it progresses, right? Like that's the start, I would say. But then it can really progress to more severe symptoms like frequent urination, numbness and tingling in the extremities of your body, fingers and toes, right? That's why diabetics, because it injures tissues. And that's why diabetics very often can lose eyesight, have kidney issues. They lose limbs because they can't feel, right? They lose that sensation because blood sugar, when it glycates and it becomes sticky, it can really start to damage tissue in the body. So it's a big oxidative stress.
Absolutely. With some of the carbohydrate sources, let's say, for example, somebody here is like really addicted to sugar. Mm-hmm. They just love getting a sweet fix. Like how do you suggest that person go about, you know, getting their hit, so to speak? But maybe from, I don't know, you might have some preferable carbohydrate sources. Like what's your approach there?
So first things first, I would make sure that they're eating VPF plus C. Because cravings, like I mentioned, if you are not fueling the body properly, then you're probably going to get a spike. So like if someone just had something sweet, whatever example, a juice and a croissant.
Let's say dates, for example, dates.
Fine. Dates. It's healthy, but that's really high in sugar. But you have nothing with that date. What's going to happen is you're going to have a massive spike of blood sugar. Now, in a metabolically sound body, the body can probably handle that and bring the glucose levels back down to a normal level. But if someone is having dates, juice, pastas, like high carb, high refined, high sugar diet on a longer term basis, then the metabolic system becomes dysfunctional. The body doesn't react appropriately. And so you can have a massive spike now, but then also a massive drop. And when you have that massive drop, that's when you're going to get cravings because the body wants sugar quickly, right? And so that's why first thing that I want to check is, well, what did you eat beforehand? Is it what you're eating that's creating that spike and drop of blood sugar in the body? If so, that's why VPF is really going to help normalize and stabilize your blood sugar levels. So that's step one. And then if someone is eating VPF and then they're still having sugar cravings, the next step that I tell them is, all right, now we have to tweak the ratio of fat and carbs. Either you're not including enough starchy carbs, which a lot of people, they're scared of carbs today, right? So I have some people who come to me and they're eating VPF and they're completely restricting starchy carbs and they're working out. And I'm like, dude, you have to have more starchy carbs. So I'll, in that case, recommend try adding in a little bit of starchy carbs with your lunch and dinner and see if that doesn't get rid of your cravings. If that doesn't work, then I tweak the ratio of fats. So let's say someone is eating enough carbohydrates, then I would look at the ratio of fats because fats is very satiating. And the way I like to explain this, I like to give the analogy of the campfire. So if we're sitting around a campfire and you want to get the fire going, you're going to throw in twigs and tissue and things that burn very quickly because you want to get the fire going, but they burn very quickly. That's your sugar and your simple carbs, right? But then you start throwing in the larger pieces of wood and then the big log. The big log is like protein and fats. It's going to allow the fire to burn longer. And so that's where I say increase your fat intake, check your protein. It's maybe also not enough, right? You want those big logs to make sure that the portions of those are significant enough. So if someone is having a nice big salad with just a little bit of chicken on top, yeah, you're going to be really hungry afterwards. Like increase your protein and then increase your healthy fats. Have a few slices of avocado in there. Have a sprinkle of seeds over there, some nuts. Make sure the ratio of fats to carbs is there, right? That would be the second thing that I would tweak. And then if they're still having that sweet craving, usually it cuts it, usually gets rid of it. But then there are hacks, you know, that you can do to minimize the impact of a sugar craving. So one, you could just cave in and go, okay, I'm going to have something sweet and that's absolutely fine. But let's choose a whole food, sweet food. And that's where fruits come in. We demonize fruits, but my God, it's nature's candy.
You read my mind. I was just about to bring that up. Yeah, absolutely.
It's nature's candy. So, okay, you're craving something sweet and you've done all the things you should be doing and you ate the right portions of food and the right quantity of food, because that's the other thing. Some people don't eat enough. And they're just hungry all the time. So it's not that you're craving sweets, it's that you're hungry. Have a proper meal and watch those cravings disappear, right? So if they're doing all the right things and they still have a craving, go for it. Have a piece of fruit, you know, first and foremost. Have, even if it's a dehydrated date, go for it. But, you know, if it's something that high and you're more prone to cravings, then I would say incorporate with your simple carb, whatever you choose to have, either a protein or a fat with it. What that does is it slows down the absorption of sugar into the bloodstream, and it will create a more stable response. So you don't have that high spike and that low drop that creates more cravings. And then there are other tricks like amino acids. You can actually, there's a product by Biotics Research called AminoSorb. That's one that I've recommended over the years. You could just put a few drops under the tongue, but amino acids can help kind of curb those sugar cravings for people where it's really, really strong. And then if it really is, and you're doing all these things and your craving is just unbelievably out of control, I would go, I'd question and go, do we have a yeast overgrowth? Do we have a fungal and yeast overgrowth, right? Because these things really crave sugar, and they have more control over our food choices than you would think.
Yeah. It's I'm glad you brought up the fruit aspect, because I was going to ask around, like, I'd imagine that you would get so many messages about fruit, and people probably asking you, like, hey, Bernadette, is it okay to eat fruit? Like, did you want to just maybe clear up the myth around fruit? Because a lot of health coaches and health practitioners say that, like, no, you cannot eat fruit. Like, it's all fruit's bad. Do you want to sort of elaborate on that?
Yeah, sure. So look, I take a very individualistic approach to everything. So I'm not extreme. And I don't, like I mentioned at the beginning, there's no bad, there's no good. Fruits fall into that same category. Yes, they have sugar, but they're also filled with vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and polyphenols that we need. Yeah. So it depends on the individual and it depends on the circumstance. Again, once again. So if somebody comes to me who is insulin resistant, who is pre-diabetic or maybe diabetic, and they're looking to reverse this condition, then yeah, for a little while, it might be a good idea to limit. I would never say avoid, but I would limit, and I give people guidelines. So someone who is insulin resistant, I would say maybe 1 to 2 whole fruits per day and lower glycemic. So I actually share in my book a fructose in fruits chart where you can see the different fructose levels in various fruits, just so people have a sense of what are fruits that are lower in sugar and fruits that are higher glycemic. So I would say kind of stay away from dried fruits because those are much higher in fructose sugar, and choose more citrus and berries. You could have like a whole cup of berries and be really low sugar. You know, it's amazing. And it's super rich in antioxidants. So that would be something that I would recommend for someone who's insulin resistant. Someone is metabolically sound and loves fruit, go for it. You know, 2 to 3 whole fruits per day. Fantastic.
Yeah, no, I love that approach. And I definitely agree there with the berries. I oftentimes tell my clients, like, you know, go ahead, have as many berries, blueberries, blackberries as you want, because there's even studies where they combine, like, having berries post-meal actually reducing the blood sugar spike. probably because of the polyphenols. Like, it's just phenomenal research. But I sort of wanted to sort of go back to some of the deceptive ingredients and food labeling, because that's going to be it's a big challenge for a number of people trying to actually read food labels, because they can be extremely challenging to read. So do you want to sort of expand upon or give people tips in that regard?
So I have a whole chapter on that, okay? But I'll give a few examples, because look, at the end of the day, we all shop at the supermarkets. I doubt anybody has a farmland and they're farming it and eating the foods that they're growing. That would be beautiful, but that's just not realistic. Most people shop for their food. So a big part of eating healthy is also knowing how to shop. And that's where my book is super practical. It's all about that, right? And so some of the things, obviously, because of marketing and, you know, companies want to make money. You know, have you ever seen a billboard ad for fruits and vegetables? No, right? You're only going to see billboard ads for food products. So if you're going to purchase a food product, that's when you're going to have to look at labels and know how to read labels. And so the first step is look at the ingredients. Make sure the ingredients are whole food ingredients, meaning it's an apple, it's oat, it's whatever, right? It's whole food ingredients in that food product. Now, in terms of deceptive labeling, things that I would want people to, for example, be careful about, I'll give a few examples. The first one we'll touch on is the serving size. So, you know, hydrogenated fats and oils, a lot of people now know it's not disputed anymore. We've kind of come to the consensus that it leads to heart disease, right? Hydrogenated oils will lead to
poofers.
Sorry, I just lost my my train of thought. I was looking for a word. What is it? Hydrogenated oils.
Poofers, polyunsaturated fatty acids,
yes,
like canola
oil.
Well,
no, not poofers. Okay, it'll come back to me. Sorry. But basically, okay, we know that hydrogenated fats, okay, trans fats, are something that we want to be avoiding. And food manufacturers have had to, in 2020, they've had to remove trans fats from their products. I don't know if you knew that. And they had to redo all their labels. Now, they've actually gone around this by adding in something, an emulsifier called monoglycerides and diglycerides, which are byproducts of oil processing that includes, here's the word, partially hydrogenated oils. That's what I was trying to say. It includes partially hydrogenated oils high in trans fats. And so because these emulsifiers are not lipids, they're not classified as fats, they're classified as emulsifiers, they don't have to be labeled as having trans fats in the product. So that's something that's become very sneaky these days, is that they're replacing the hydrogenated fats and trans fats with something called mono and diglycerides. So any product that has a long shelf life, take a look at the list of ingredients and see if you see the words mono and diglycerides, monoglycerides and diglycerides, because most likely that does contain trans fats. They just don't have to label it anymore because they are classified as emulsifiers and not as fats or lipids. So that's
a lot of protein bars I've noticed are actually including those ingredients, which is just so sneaky.
Exactly. So today that's what we have to be concerned about. We know about trans fats, how it leads to heart disease, and now they've just kind of had a way around it and that they don't have to label it anymore. So really be careful for those mono and diglycerides. And then the other thing that I would want to mention is about sugar. You know, like you've got people who drink smoothies, for example, thinking that it's all fresh fruits and there's no sugar added. The no sugar added doesn't mean that the product is low in sugar. Like if you take a look at that, maybe we can touch on how to calculate the number of teaspoons in a product. So we'll take, for example, let's say a product has 32 grams of carbs, of which are sugar. So you would simply, 1 teaspoon of sugar is 4 grams. So you would then divide the grams of carbs and sugar, which was 32, by 4. So that product would have 8 teaspoons of sugar. Now, I want people who can't visualize what 8 teaspoons of sugar is to take a cup, a glass cup, at see-through and literally measure out 8 teaspoons and just look at how much sugar there is. And what's really deceptive is how marketing claims will say on juices and on smoothies, they'll say sugar-free or no sugar added. Yeah, but it's got a ton of fruits in there. That's still going to spike your blood sugar massively. I would much prefer that you eat a whole fruit on its own instead of anything that is juiced with a concentration of fruits.
Also, as part of that is they'll sneak around that by using, they use other types of, like they won't use sugar, but they'll add in some like artificial sweeteners. So like, you know, the sucralose is a big one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the label where they'll say sugar-free. You know, if you see anything with no sugar or sugar-free, I want you guys to question, well, where's the sweet? If it's sweet and it's saying sugar-free, question mark, where's the sweetness coming from? Look for what type of sweetener they're actually using, right? And I have a whole page with 72 different names for sugar.
Jeez.
It has that many names. So it's really important to kind of be aware of what are these different names for sugar. And if the product is sweet, you can guarantee that it has sugar in some form, whether it's a natural sweetener, another type of name for sugar, or artificial sweetener, which we absolutely want to be avoiding.
Hmm. What about, just out of curiosity, I mean, I've got my own staple favorites in my diet. Like there's certain foods that I'm like, it always has to be in the fridge. Of course, you know, hummus is part of that. But what are your essentials? Are you like, yep, this has to be in my fridge like year round?
Like snacks or just food in general, like basic essentials in the fridge?
Yeah, like maybe like we'll go starting with protein, like your favorite protein sources.
I'm a meat person, you know, so I love to, and I encourage people to shop if they're going to have an organic budget. I encourage people to put that spend on animal products. You know, there's a lot organic is more expensive. So absolutely, if you're going to have a budget for organic, spend it on animal products if you consume animal products. And so I will have, dehydrated meats. I love those as snacks, kind of like beef jerkies, turkey jerkies, things like that. Again, check the ingredients, but I'll have things like salami, make sure that it's, you know, organic. It doesn't have any nitrites or sulfites added. There's a lot of things, again, and I have in my book a whole chapter with checklists for literally every single food in the supermarket aisle that you're going to go through. You know, make sure it doesn't have this, make sure it doesn't have that, look for this, look for that. And so for proteins, yeah, I'm a big meat eater. So I make sure my freezer has organ meats, so liver. I'll make sure that there's beef, lamb, chicken, fish. I like to add variety to my proteins. So that's how we pretty much, when I meal plan for the week, I think first, what's the protein that I'm going to have in that meal? And then I add in the vegetables and the sides. So like what vegetable is going to go nicely? And then what can I sprinkle the healthy fat? You know, so that's kind of how I meal plan and I prep. But protein, I make sure that I have different animal products. And I also add in vegetarian sources into that mix. So I might have one day chicken, one day fish, one day meat, one day vegetarian, and then I rotate just to ensure that we're getting in the different amino acid proteins from the different foods. Because always eating the same type of meat, you're limiting yourself to a certain amino acid protein.
Yeah. No, and also you're going to increase the risk of developing like, you know, food allergies and like sensitivities.
Exactly. Like, good point. Yeah. Yeah.
I made that mistake myself with potatoes because I was having like boiled potatoes before soccer training. When I used to play soccer, I was literally having boiled potatoes like three times a week, just consistent. I'd have like three or four potatoes at one in one sitting. And then over time, I've just become like, yeah, really sensitive to potatoes. They irritate my gut and I just get sensitivities to them. But you make a good point about like prioritizing protein first, like allocating your budget, prioritizing that first, and then just keeping a variety, like so that you're rotating between different types of protein sources. It just keeps things exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, who doesn't love the taste of different types of meats like lamb, chicken, and different things like that? But what about when it comes to organic? I've had a number of people message me on Instagram wanting to know, like, what's my stance on organic foods? How do you explain this, the importance of organic produce?
Yeah, well, look, I've got two whole chapters on that in my book. It's important. And again, as I mentioned earlier on at the beginning, we've got different levels of organic today, right? We have industrial organic, we have local organic, and we have biodynamic organic. So even organic has different levels and different categories today. It's insane. But there are still people, I still come across people who are like, it's a scam, right? They're just, it's the same thing and we're wasting our money. It's more expensive and it's a scam. And so what assurances, and that's the biggest question, as a consumer who's going to spend money on something, what assurances do we have that we're spending money on something that's going to benefit us, that it's worth it? And that's where I would say certifications and labels become really important. And look for certifying bodies of countries where it's certified at a federal level. So Canada has that, Japan has that, The EU has that, the US, right, the USDA organic label. So these countries have at a federal level regulations, very strict regulations that they have to abide by, and inspections that happen to ensure there are measures in place to ensure that what you are buying is truly organic. Now, of course, there's cross-contamination and all these things. We can't really know, right? But there are other organic labels where it's actually a country that asks a representing body. So it's not at a federal level, but they actually have a representing body that will certify on their behalf. So that can also be something for this, you know, countries that don't have it regulated at a federal level. So just look wherever you live, what do you have a federal regulating body in your country, and what is that label? And that's the label that you want to be looking for, that seal of approval on labels. What you want to avoid, again, going back to sneaky and deceptive labeling, a lot of people confuse gluten-free for organic for some reason. A lot of products get positioned in the organic session. A lot of gluten-free products get positioned in the organic section. So a lot of people think, ooh, this is organic. It's just gluten-free. For some reason, there's that association. That's not the case. And so, you know, look at the certifications to ensure what you're having, and avoid also labels that have organic in the name, but they don't have a label. Like, I'm going to give an example here. Organifi, or I think that actually is sorry, I don't want to mention brands, but like it has Organa something in.
It's like saying it's like Ben's organic eggs, but they're not.
But they're not organic. They're just, but they have it in the name. Like, don't get deceived by the name. Look for labels, right? And eggs is a whole other topic. I mean, I have, again, a whole section on eggs.
Lucas is organic hummus, but you would hope it's organic.
Right, exactly. So like, look at those certifications just to have that assurance. And then to make it simpler, again, because I understand transitioning to organic food is expensive. You are going to be probably paying, you know, at least minimum 20% more in your spend. You're going to be adding 20% more, but there are ways that you can mitigate that. So for example, buy in bulk, make more food at home. Instead of buying food products, you can make ingredients that you make yourself. You could look at farm sharing, you know, these farms where you can go and you could buy a membership and then they bring you whatever produce they grow. You know, find farmers where you can buy a half a cow, a quarter cow, and then if you get a second freezer and you could freeze things. So that brings down the cost of meats, for example. If you're buying products that you literally flush down the toilet, like toilet paper, like it doesn't have to be the big brand name and super soft and cushiony. Like, just buy the generic brand that you're going to be literally flushing down the toilet, and use that budget towards more organic food, right? Limit your cleaning products. Instead of buying brand names of glass cleaners and floor cleaners, just use vinegar. You know, like, there are ways to minimize your spend and use that spend towards organic. And what I would say is I would focus on these following five. These are the five organic must-haves. So I already mentioned animal products, and also ensure that their feed is not GMO, because you can have an organic animal, but that was still fed GMO grains. So that's something tricky that we need to know about. Anything that has the top five GMO crops, like corn, canola, soybean, sugar beets, and cotton, or their derivatives, right? So anything that comes from corn or anything that comes from soy, like soy sauce, for example, you would want to make sure that your soy sauce is organic. Anything that has corn oil, you know, we want to be avoiding corn oil, but right, anything that is a derivative of corn, anything that is a derivative of canola, rapeseed. Canola, another name for canola is rapeseed. That's actually the seed that makes canola oil. So anything that has those top five GMO crops, you want to ensure that they're organic, because by definition, you can't have GMOs in a certified organic product. And then in terms of fruits and vegetables, where to prioritize your spend, you know, do you buy everything organic? You don't have to. Follow the Dirty Dozen. If anybody's heard of that or hasn't heard of it, look it up. The EWG, Environmental Working Group, every year, this is in the US, come out with a list of 12 produce that are most contaminated with pesticide residues and that are most contaminated with that. And the Clean 15 are conventional products that are sprayed that don't absorb as much of these pesticides and residues. So look up the Dirty Dozen, look up the Clean 15, and you could choose basically the Clean 15, you know, you could choose conventional foods from the Clean 15, but if you consume regularly foods on the Dirty Dozen, then prioritize those to be organic, like strawberries, for example. Year after year, consistently, strawberries are on the Dirty Dozen list. And if you consume a lot of strawberries, then ensure that you're getting organic strawberries. If you can't afford them, usually frozen is more cost effective. And if they're fresh frozen, it could be just as nutritious and maybe sometimes even more nutritious than fresh produce that had to endure the duration of transport before it got to the supermarket and then got into your fridge, right? So that's for produce. I would also add in coffee and peanuts because everybody loves their coffee. And peanuts are one of the most highly pesticide sprayed crops with really no limits. So really ensure that those are organic, and as well as spices and seasonings. So whatever herbs you use, because those can be irradiated. And if it's organic, then it's not allowed. So those are just ways to protect and ensure that your money is going to be well spent and you're going to get the benefits.
Yeah, these are great tips. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that will, a lot of these things you've mentioned to them will be like the first time they've heard them before. I mean, the Dirty Dozen, I've seen it posted quite a lot on like on Instagram, the Clean 15, but giving them these resources is going to be like invaluable. But just for those listening in, just a reminder, you will see Bernadette's Unjunk book. Hopefully by the time this podcast is released, Bernadette, is that actually, it's officially out, right?
Like people don't can, you see it behind me, Lucas? Let me show you.
It's yes, just been a long time, in the making.
Oh my God. It was a very long time in the making. A lot of sweat, tears, blood went into making this book. It's a fantastic resource for anyone who's looking to just transform their nutrition for themselves, for their families. And then even at the end, I've got like the end could be a book on its own. It's recipes, because I really want it to be a resource for people. So for example, you know, when I'm saying, you know, find something that's organic. Well, let's say you can't find it. You can't find a healthy version, because I'm all about finding the healthier ingredients. Well, if you can't find that product, I have tons of resources at the end, recipe wise, of things that you can make, you know, and so I hope it becomes a fantastic resource for those who need it.
Yeah. And it's available worldwide right now.
Yeah. So people can find it on amazon.com.co.uk. And then from there, they're distributing worldwide.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'll make sure to leave that link in the UAE for those of you who are living here.
Yeah. No, congratulations on that. That's a huge, I mean, we went back and forth on some of the ideas around the book, and just congratulations on that, because it's a huge, massive achievement amongst juggling all the other things that you do in your life. Like, it's not easy to write a book whilst like running a family and, you know, maintaining a business. So yeah, hats off to you.
You know, if I didn't have a very strong mission, I probably would have quit a long time ago, because anyone you speak to who's written a book, it's the hardest thing that you're ever going to do in your life. And, you know, I was just very frustrated with society not, you know, we got to level the playing field for parents. The next generation that's coming, it's scary. Like, if you look at the statistics of diabetes for children, if you look at the statistics of obesity, it's not a joke. 33%, that's not a joke of, you know, children. Young children, and I'm starting to see it in my practice. My adult clients are wanting me to work with their children now. And what I'm seeing is the start of insulin resistance for a lot of them. And, you know, unfortunately, food manufacturers, advertising and media, these powerful influences, the food industry, these are powerful influences that are really making it difficult on parents to raise a healthy next generation. Because I can't tell you, Lucas, you're not there yet, but one day you will. And let me tell you, the influences are so strong. Just look at the Hallmark holidays, right? Starting with Halloween. And then we've got November and December, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Then we've got New Year's. Then we've got Valentine's. March, April, we have Easter and the religious holidays. You know, then May, June, that becomes birthday party central because all the kids want to celebrate who are born in July, August want to celebrate with their kids in June before the school year end. It's insane. It's every month. And like everybody thinks it's okay once in a while, everything in moderation. And that's the biggest problem today is people are no longer seeing or they're not recognizing and seeing how pervasive the problem really is. And that's where we have to start is we have to highlight that there is a massive problem. And then that's the solution is to actually wake up and go, oh, I need to start changing my ways. I need to start changing my nutrition and I have to start changing how my kids are eating so that we give that next generation a chance. So that's why I have this very strong mission with this book. And that's what's kept me going for 4 years.
Oh, gee. Yeah. I mean, very powerful, powerful mission and, you know, making a huge impact and changing people's lives, which is, you know, major respect to you and keep doing what you're doing. And just for my audience, if they want to connect with you, where can they find you on social media?
Yeah. So on social media, I'm on Instagram predominantly. So just my name, Bernadette.Abraham, that would be the best place. That's where I'm most active. And my website, BernadetteAbraham.com, you could see all the services that I offer. And if anybody's interested in getting to the root cause of their health symptoms, then they can also join my health membership called Be Better. So it's BeBetterMembership.com. You can also find that from my website.
Awesome. I'll make sure to leave those linked in the show notes. But otherwise, Bernadette, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Lucas. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.